Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Old Testament, to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. There's how many Psalm chapters in Psalm are there? 150. And before we get started, because we don't want to miss anything that the Lord has to say to us through His Word, turn to your neighbor and say, thank you for not talking during the sermon. We don't want to miss anything, that's for sure. Psalm 56, it's in the Old Testament. In case you're a new Christian, you may not say, where's Psalm 56? I don't know where that is. Well, it's in the Old Testament. It's almost in the center of the Bible. If you go to the center of the Bible and make a little bitty left-hand turn, that's where you'll kind of hit on Psalms. Is everybody ready to hear from the Lord this morning? Okay, good. Psalm 56 is a psalm of deliverance. And David wrote this psalm when he was having difficulty in his life. How many of you have had some difficulty in your life before? Yeah. And he writes it specifically when he was being attacked by Saul and his men. And some say they may have been the Philistines too. But he was being attacked by his enemies. He wrote this psalm to encourage us when we are being attacked by who? Our enemies. And this psalm is written to encourage us. It's not to discourage us. But what I like about the psalms is that when you're having difficulty in life, you go to the... When you're having problems with serving God and being obedient to God and you're struggling with that, you go to the... And specifically psalms. Psalms will show you exactly what you're going through in your life. You can find yourself in the psalms. Whatever the situation, if you're going through trouble, go to the Psalms. If you're going through joy and you want to praise God and you want to offer thanksgiving to God, go to the Psalms. They're there. And so what I like about the Psalms is that when I have enemies in my life and I have things going on in my life that are around me and I just don't think I can move one step closer, I can go to the Psalms and go, you know what? I'm not the first one. I'm not the first one that has experienced enemies in my life. How many of you know that there's people in your life that want the worst for you? There's some bad people out there thinking bad things about you, wanting the worst for you. And they'll go out of their way to make it bad for you. Are you with me? And David had those enemies in his life. But, you know, he has some joy in it, and he finds some peace in knowing that there are enemies out there and what to do about it, and how to respond to it when you have enemies in your life, when things are not going on around you according to plan, and you have people that want to hurt you, and they say mean things about you, and all the rest. So what do we do? How do we get our strength? How do we get our peace? Well, you go to the Psalms. You let the Word of God minister to your heart, because when you look at it, and as we'll read it, you'll go, wow, that's me. I can relate to it. He's going through things that I'm going through too. And it will give us encouragement. How many of you need a little encouragement this morning? Yes. So he's going to talk about in this psalm, David, is troubles, trusts, trials, triumph, and he's going to give God the thanks. Wait a minute. I'm going to give God the thanks when things around me are crumbling? Yes. Because God never changes. Only your circumstances change. And a lot of us live a defeated life in Christ because we react to our circumstances rather than our position that we have in Christ. Christ has overcome all the troubles and trials of life. He has defeated death and sin. He has the power, so through faith in Him and reliance on Him, you and I, no matter what our circumstances are, can live a successful life in Christ. Not in our own power and strength. How many of you have tried to live a life in your own power and strength sometime? And he goes to the first verse, be gracious to me. That's a great way to start a prayer, isn't it? I mean, he's having some problems. But he starts out, just Lord, be gracious to me. I need your help. Showing humility. And then he talks about his troubles. Oh God, for man has what? Trampled upon me. I mean, I've got enemies over here, they're waiting in the bushes to deceive me and to and to sideswipe me and to ambush me and all the rest. And he says, for a man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. How many of you have been, one time in your life, maybe more than one time, been oppressed by other people? It's not fun, is it? And his enemies were oppressing him. They were actually, it says in that first verse, we haven't gotten out of the first verse, fighting all day long, those enemies oppress me. Lord, be gracious to me. Help me, Lord. There's nothing I can do. Be gracious, God. My foes have trampled upon me all day long. How long? I want to go when I read that. All day long? Have you ever felt that way? Oh, wow. When is it going to end? All day? You may be going, all week? Some of you may be going, all month? And a few, if you're like me, it just stays in all year. It's the way life is. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, verse 2, for they are many. How many? Are they just a few?
Yes.
Is that many? They fight. They fight how they fight. They fight proudly against me. They like what they do. Wait a minute. It's not an accidental thing with these people, his enemies. It's premeditated. He's telling it like it is. And that's why I like David. He's a man after God's own heart, but he has issues in life just like me and you. And some people say, well, come to God and everything is going to be all right and perfect. Well, you know what? That's not true, because you're going to have the same circumstances. What God will do for you is give you peace through the trials of life. The storms may still be rolling around. Lightning may be in the sky, and maybe lightning and thundering, but God will give you peace. But the circumstances may not change, and He'll get you through those circumstances in His own time and in His own way, in a way that glorifies His Son if you're a Christian. And He says, for they are many who fight proudly against me. They are anxious to get to Him. And then verse 3, now he's sharing his heart now. He's sharing his heart. He's putting his trust in the Lord. And we're going to have to, if you're going to get through this life, you're going to have to trust in God. He says it in verse 3. When I am afraid. He didn't say that if you're afraid, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Some people will say that. Wait a minute. You're all out of whack here, and you're all out of whack here. You must lack faith. That's not true. We all get out of whack sometimes. We all have fear in our life sometimes. It doesn't mean that we lack faith. It means that we're human. God doesn't want us to live in fear, but sometimes you just do. It doesn't mean that I lack faith or you lack faith when you go through a period of your life that maybe you have fear in your life. We've all had fear. But He says, when I am afraid, not if. I like that. It makes me feel real. It makes me feel close to God when I know that a man of God, a man after God's own heart, is having some problems in his life. He had problems with sin too, David did. He committed all against all the commandments. He broke all the commandments, David did. But you know what? His heart was, I don't want to do it anymore. God, help me. I don't want to do that anymore. I know I fall short, but I don't want to. A lot of people just keep on sinning and it doesn't bother them. Hey, don't mess with my sin. That's the ones you have to wonder about if they're really God's children. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't want to sin, even though you do from time to time, right? Okay. He said, when I am afraid, what would you do, David? Say, I love the Bible. You ask a question, it prompts the answer right here in the same verse. Just no notes. Just that. He says, when I am afraid, what will I do? I will put my trust in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I will put my trust in God. That's a good sermon, just that one little half sentence there. In verse 4, in God whose word I praise. What is he praising right here? The word. If you're going to be successful in this life as a Christian, if you want, you're going to have to be successful through God's
word.
I meet people all the time that claim to be a Christian and they're not in God's word. Wait, hold on. Hold on, something's wrong. It'd be like giving a baby a bottle and it's not taking the bottle. Babies instinctively want a bottle because they're babies. And the milk and the babies go together. And they instinctively know what's good for them, so they drink the bottle. And if you don't give them that milk bottle, a baby, if they're healthy, is going to cry for it. Have you ever cried for God's Word when you hadn't been in it? You go like, I feel sick. I feel like anemic. And you go, oh, I haven't been in the Word. Oh, forgive me, God. I hadn't been in the Word. I've been real busy. Life has drawn me away from reading your Word. No wonder I feel spiritually anemic. Oh, God. I feel this very, oh, God. Oh, get in the Word. He says, in God whose Word I praise, in God I have put my... And then he goes on. Oh, you just stop right there and just preach this. I shall not be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, I shall not be afraid. In verse 3, he says, when I am afraid, and then he goes, I shall not be afraid. So he acknowledges that there's fear in his life at times. Then he says, you know what? If I put my trust in God, I'm not going to be afraid. And Jesus said it in the New Testament, didn't he? What did he say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said it all through the New Testament to the apostles that had some fearful times in their life. And then he goes on, what can mere man do to me? Oh, man. Nothing. Don't let anybody, anywhere, anytime tell you anything different if you're in Christ. Because your victory is in Christ. What can man do to me? Only kill me. That's it. They can't take my soul.
Amen.
My soul belongs to God through Christ. Your soul belongs to God through Christ. And one day you'll see Him face to face if you're a Christian.
Amen.
That's what keeps you going, hopefully. You know what we put as important here on earth? You know, like gold and money. We'll just put our scuff marks on our feet on it in heaven. Just walk on streets of gold. Here's a scuff mark. I used to think it was important, gold. But now I'm putting scuff marks on it in heaven. I love that. What can man do to me? You can only kill me. You can't take my soul, and you sure can't take my joy. You may try. You may have those enemies that try to take away your joy in the Lord. Mess with you. Call you up. Text you. Trouble you. Discourage you. You know what I say? Those people that want to discourage me intentionally, get behind me, Satan. That was heavy. I'm serious. I cannot be around discouragers. I'm not. Not for one second. Ain't gonna happen. I back down. I back off. I back away. If you're like me, it's a long road to get to glory. And maybe you've had enough discouragement in your life. You're looking for somebody to encourage you. Yes. Hallelujah. And this particular verse, verse 5, he says, all day long, not just a little, you know, every now and again, all day long they distort my word, slander. That's the ultimate hurt. Have you ever been slandered before? People saying that you said something that wasn't true and it degrades your name? That is a knife in the heart. And they were doing that to David. He says, all day long they distort my words. They're saying things about me that are not true. Man, it's hurtful. It's slander. People talking behind your back, saying things that are not true, degrading your name. So he was having problems. David was having problems. They were distorting his words. Yeah, I say it's black and they say it's white.
Come on.
God calling from heaven. He said, the sermon's good. The sermon's good. If that's God, answer the phone. If it's not, tell him you call him back. All their thoughts are against me for what? Good? No, it says for evil. Oh, man. David, I'm relating to you, David. I can understand how you feel, David. Everything about the psalm I can relate to. They attack, they lurk. And they watch my steps. I can hide, boy. I can hide. That's my old self wanted to just crouch down and hide. But they're hiding in the bushes like I was. And they attack and they lurk and they watch my steps. Oh, where is it going to be next? Where is she going to be next? I might show up there on that curb. It's like, I guess you would say, modern day stalking. So, this psalm is up to date. That's what I love about the Bible. You don't have to twist it and make it something that it's not. You just read it for what it is and try to explain it. Hopefully I'm doing that. If I am, y'all give me a little encouragement. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, and they have waited to take my life. That's as serious as it gets. Those are wicked people. Wicked, wicked people. Because of wickedness, cast them. Now he's saying in verse 7, I am, no matter what my enemies are, where you put me, Lord, and what I have to go through, Lord, I am going to triumph over them. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's triumph. Say troubles, Keith. Say trust. Say trials. Say triumph. And say thanksgiving. Y'all like my tea like that? Because of wickedness, cast them forth. Lord, you fight my battles. Forgive me for trying on my own. You cast them forth. You get them out of my life. You give them what they deserve. They'll get their what they deserve because I trust in you and your power. I'm one of your sheep, Lord. He'll take care of his own. We might not understand it all the time, how he does it. Just trust in the Lord. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. Well, David is saying, hey, now it's time for them to get it. God takes care of his own. He may allow you to go through some struggles and some troubles and some trials, and those enemies seem insurmountable. God's going to take care of you. Keep on trusting. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep on trusting. We're going to triumph over our enemies because of God. Not because I say it 1,000 times. Uh-oh. You know, you just have to believe in the power of the Lord, not in the power of your own faith. Your faith is in the object of faith, not in your own faith. Are you with me? Your faith is in the object of your faith, and that's God. Your faith is in God, not in your own faith. And because of wickedness, cast them forth in anger, put down the peoples of God. And then in verse 8, he's saying, now I'm going to have a relationship with you, Lord. I'm going to thank you because it's just me and you. I've asked you to take care of my enemies. I'm going to put my trust in you. I've been real honest with you, Lord, about them. And now I'm just going to give you some praise, just me and you, Lord. And this is what he says in verse 8. You have taken account of my wanderings. Oh, my. You know when I wander. How many of you have wandered a little bit in your life in your Christian experience? Whoa! Off the track a little bit. We're all like sheep and have gone up. Yeah. I don't like it there, do y'all?
No.
Going astray? Man, we like dumb sheep though, aren't we? We like it over here. We like the grass over here. It's not even grass. God says, eat over here. This is the real deal. This will give you the nourishment you need. We want to go eat the grass that looks like grass, but it's bitter. It eventually makes you sick to your stomach, and that's what sheep did. They wandered off from the shepherd. The shepherd said, this is where I've got you to pasture. You eat over here. And they're going like, I want to eat over here. And they get in trouble every time. But David says, you know the account of my wanderings. You know when I drift away. You know when I don't do right. I wander sometimes. Don't you?
Yeah.
That's the real. Get real with God now. Get real. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better start getting real with God. God already knows that you've wandered from Him. So, you know, you ought to confess it. Like He's doing. You haven't taken account of my wanderings. Oh, here's the encouragement. Put my tears in your bottle and they not in your book. God has recorded. It's only one person that knows every tear that you've ever shed in your whole life, and that's who? Have you cried in the middle of the night when there was nobody around?
Yes.
Nobody was there. No family was there. No boyfriend was there. No family, no boyfriend, no anybody, but yeah, there was. It says it right here, God knew. When you cried, He's got that tear in His bottle. God knows every tear that you've ever shed. And you can't live a life that's free from tears, can you? They're happy tears, they're sad tears. It's time to cry, time to laugh, time to plant, time to sow. But it comforts me, and I know it comforts you to know that if you see God, and I'm using my imagination, I knew when you cried about that time, when you cried yourself to sleep that time and nobody saw you, look, those are the tears. Put my tears in your bottle, yes. Thank you, Lord, for seeing every tear that I've ever shed. In verse 9, then my enemies will turn. Yes! They'll turn back in the day when I call. This I know that God is for me. Verse 9, that God is for me. Everybody's familiar with that. If God is for me, then... He said that God is for me. He's never against His children. So turn to your neighbor and say, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Turn to your other neighbor and say, God is for me.
God is
for me. You know, what can man do to us? In God, in verse 10, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. It sounds like verse 4. Verse 4 says, in God whose word I praise. I'm amazed at why the Bible repeats itself sometimes and it says the same thing. It's because God doesn't want us to miss it. Have you ever repeated something to somebody?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to sometimes, just so the person gets it. Sure. And so nothing wrong with that. And he says it here. He says, I want to make sure, and I'll repeat it again because I just said it in verse 4, but I'll say it again in verse 10. In God, whose word I will praise. The word will give me comfort when I'm distraught, and the word will give me comfort when I'm troubled. And the word will give me peace when I'm in trials. It will. It will comfort you, just like the psalm does. Some people say, well, I lack faith. And somebody said, I lack faith because I have all these enemies and I have all these battles to fight. No, you don't. It's the way life is. In God I have put my trust. Who? In God I have put my trust. In verse 11, he said it again already. He's saying this for the second time. I shall not be afraid. Verse 4, he said, I shall not be afraid. I refuse to have fear in my life, even though I stumble and fall at it. I'm not going to live in a life in fear.
Come on.
And it may be easy for you to live in fear. Is it because you're not in God's Word or trusting in God? It might be that. What can man do to me? Again, man can only kill me. You can't take my soul. It belongs to God. You can't take my joy because it belongs to God. You can't take my peace because it belongs to God. Go ahead, man. I belong to the Lord. Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. What I love about David's heart is that, yeah, I've got some issues with my enemies, and I'm going to be very honest with you, God, about my fear. Yes, I have stumbled and fallen. I have wandered away. But I am, through all this, going to give you a word of thanksgiving. Why? We're supposed to thank God when things are not going right? Well, I don't want to right now. Nothing's going right in my life. I don't want to thank God right now. What do I have to thank God for right now? We have a lot to be thankful for. Be thankful that God is, when you wander, He pulls you back, giving you second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and ninth chance. Some of you may be starting over for the 10th time. Let's keep on starting. We're in this journey together. Work it through the Word. Work out your salvation through fear and trembling. It's a long road. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a long road. And we want to endure to the end, don't we? Those who truly endure are the ones that are truly saved, not the ones that have lived a life free from problems. Just endure to the end. I've got problems, yes, but endure. I've got issues, yes, but I'm going to endure. I've got enemies lurking after me, yeah, but God is for me. Who can be against me? So he says, I will render thank offerings to you, and I'll close with 13. I'm going to thank you, Lord. I'm going to thank you for being a God of mercy and compassion and of love and pulling me back in when I wandered off. I'm just going to thank you for being who you are, God, not for what you can do for me. Bless me, God. Bless me, God. Yeah, I want to be blessed too, but blessings come through obedience.
Yeah.
It's not going, bless me God, you got to bless me God, you know. It's to obedience to the Word. Bless me then, Lord, if you choose. For you have delivered my soul from death.
Yeah.
Verse 13, for you have delivered my soul from death. I was on my way to hell. I was on my way to spend eternity in a place that Jesus called hell. I was going to pay for my sins for eternity because I'm sinful and you're holy. But no, through your Son Christ, you have delivered my soul from death. And some of you listening to the message have not had your soul delivered from death. In other words, you're still in that direction. How do I know? Well, the Bible says you must be born again. And you're going, I don't think I've been born again. Somebody said to me, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I go, really? Why are you going to heaven? Because my daddy was a preacher. Wrong answer. Well, I was baptized when I was 12. Wrong answer. I'm a member of a really good church. Wrong answer. I read my Bible twice a day and I pray twice a day too. Wrong answer. The right answer is if you've never been born again, you have never truly repented of your sins and put your saving faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you haven't been born again. You have to do that to enter the kingdom of heaven. And is tomorrow the day to be saved? Or today is the day because your heart, put your hand over your heart right now. Mine's beating fast. Did you feel your heartbeat?
Yes.
One day, guess what's going to happen? Mine stopped for a minute or two in my life. Has your heart stopped for a minute or two? Mine stopped a couple of times. And you know what's interesting? You know it immediately. I mean, if your heart has missed a beat or two in your life for whatever reason, you will know it immediately. There is no denying when your heart stops. And then I'll close for the third time. For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling. You know what? I stumble and fumble. I trip. Sometimes you fall into sin. Hopefully you want to get out quick. But God knows that He's going to keep your feet on solid ground. The solid ground is His Word. Even though you fall short, even though you stumble, He knows all that. He knows your wanderings. He's going to be there for you. Just have a desire to know Him better. And if you're sinning, and you know you're sinning, and God's telling you to give up your sin, today is the day to give it up, right?
Right now.
Well, I might just, not right now. I'll get around to it. You might not have a chance to get around to it. Indeed, my feet, you have kept my feet from stumbling so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. If you're a child of God, you're a child of the light. You have eternal life. Your eternal destiny is secure. Your power is from God. Your enemies are defeated. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to live in fear. And through my troubles, I'm going to trust Him. Through my trust, I'm going to trust You. Trials, yes, I have them, Lord, but I'm going to triumph one day. If it's not here on earth, You will in the life to come. You know, time is flying by. I just remember it was the first of the year, New Year's. Oh, New Year's. Oh, wow. All of a sudden, look how far the year has gone already.
Yes, right.
It's flying by. Especially after you get 40 and especially after you turn 50. And it's flying by like it's just, the years are going by like months. And it won't be long till you'll see God face to face. I mean, just like that vapor that comes off the pot of water that you boil, it comes, it goes away. That's our life. 1 second. So the thing is to make sure that your eternal destiny is secure through Christ. And then if you do know Christ already, that you can walk in the Word, that things that you read in the Scripture can relate to your life, and they'll be tangible to you, so you can go, okay, that's what I need to work on. That's what I need to do to know the Lord better. Yes, I have that problem, but so did David. I'm going to triumph over these problems. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word as it's written in Scripture, verse by verse. We got through all 13 verses in Psalm 56. Verse by verse teaching. Thank You, Lord, for giving us Your Word. Thank You for giving us Your power. Thank You for delivering us from the power and the penalty of sin through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone listening to the message that's been affected by the words of the Bible here in Psalm, that they want to repent and put their faith in Christ to be born again, let it be so. And for all of us who already know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that the Word will get us closer to you, make us more like Christ, become more Christ-like, that we will be more conformed into the image of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that this Word exalted Christ and that we can take it and learn from it and apply it to our lives so we can be successful and fruitful Christians. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And all of God's children said,
Amen.